Welcome to the Art of Strategic Reaction podcast. I'm Kyle Brost, a strategist and changemaker. I'm the CEO of Spark Policy Institute, founder and principal at Choice Strategy Group, and contributor to Forbes, Thrive Global, and Influencer. I lead at the intersection of strategy and impact, where I turn ordinary individuals into strategists and changemakers. Let's get started. Hey, 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 folks. This is Kyle Brost again with the Art of Strategic Reaction podcast. Today we have with us Bailey Hancock. And Bailey has one of the most interesting titles that I have come across so far. Bailey is a collaboration consultant, which we'll dive into what that means and what it is that she does. She also does some speaking. She's a podcast host, and she helps entrepreneurs gain credibility through collaboration and growing their business. We were just talking, and she is part of her first nonprofit, The Love Kitchen, which we can talk a little bit about. She was past president of the Santa Monica JCs. She's been a member of the Elevate Network and many other organizations. So we'll get to talk about a lot of her experiences and how that is playing into what she's doing today. But I think the natural question right off the bat, which Bailey says she gets a lot, is what is a collaboration consultant?
Yep, great question. I made it up, so that's a very fair question. A collaboration consultant is something I made up after doing marketing, events, partnerships, business development for the majority of my career. And what I realized after, I guess, about 2 years doing biz dev and partnerships as a marketing strategy specifically, was I realized that's an incredible growth tactic, especially for startups or entrepreneurs who don't have a ton of marketing money to spend. And essentially what I do is I empower entrepreneurs to help them think collaboratively. So we take a look at their overall business goals, and we identify which of those goals, if not all of them, can be supported by collaborating with well-aligned communities who have a similar target market to them. And the way I explain it to my 8-year-old nephew is I make friends for a living and I help them figure out how to play together.
Well, I love that. I think anytime you can simplify what it is that you're doing, that's a huge win. And so I love the way that you just said it in terms of making friends and helping them play together well. What I think is interesting is, and I'm assuming this is why you ended up in this space, but what I think is interesting is so many entrepreneurs think of entrepreneurship as this lonely road that they're doing alone. And it's like there's two perspectives. It's one where it's kind of like a pity me, and I'm not saying that all entrepreneurs, you know, have this pity complex, but there's one perspective that is like this pity me because I'm an entrepreneur and nobody knows what I'm going through because I'm an entrepreneur. And then there's also this entrepreneur, which is, I have to do it just myself. Like, I don't want to partner. If I partner or I collaborate or I give up equity, then it says something about, you know, my entrepreneurship skills. And
right.
So how do those two perspectives play into what it is that you do?
You're totally right. Entrepreneurship on the surface can feel incredibly lonely and isolating. And there is that desire I think a lot of entrepreneurs have that's, I have to do this myself or else it doesn't count or something like that, yeah. Which is truly just, honestly, it's ignorance. I mean, I think when you go into starting your own business, you probably have a lot of preconceived notions that are just based on what you've seen or heard. But once you really get in there and start doing it, you realize that nobody does anything alone, especially not entrepreneurs. And even people that call themselves solopreneurs or teams of one, they're still hiring consultants. They're still hiring independent contractors because, frankly, you'd be a very bad entrepreneur and a very bad business owner if you tried to do every part of your business by yourself. That's a terrible use of your time. It's inefficient. Nobody's good at everything. And I think as you go through your entrepreneurial journey, if you will, I'm going on year 3 now. I've just hit my 2-year anniversary. And it's now that I'm starting to really recognize the value in bringing on people who can do things that, sure, I could do myself, but they can do it faster and better for a little bit of money. Whereas my time, every bit of your time that you're not spending doing the thing that you're great at, is wasted time and money not being made. So with collaboration, I see it just work so beautifully with my clients where they start to realize that, okay, if I am going to want to promote this new product or this new program or this service or sell this thing, then I'm going to need help outside of my own circle to get the word out. And that's a lot of what I focus on is promotion for your business. I have one program that's called Partnerships as PR, and it really speaks to that. It's how do you gain exposure to the exact right communities that you're trying to get to in a way that doesn't feel promoted or sold to. People love when they think they've discovered something on their own. And when you collaborate with a well-aligned community to do some kind of marketing activation, be it a webinar or a co-produced podcast or an event or any number of things that you can do, that community tends to feel like they discovered you. And there's this inherent trust that's there from the start that just isn't when something's a promoted post. So yeah, I mean, nothing happens on your own as an entrepreneur. And frankly, there's no reason to go through it by yourself when you can amplify your voice and the voices of those around you who have that similar target demo and just succeed together. It is so much more fun.
Well, so I love the optimism and excitement around it. And I completely buy into the idea that nobody does it alone. And I think that that is one of the just biggest lies of humanity, that somehow we're doing things on our own when it's just not the case. Nobody has ever accomplished anything all by themselves. Whether, you know, you might have to go down the chain a little bit to find where the support was or how you got put in a position to do it. But I firmly believe that we're not doing these things alone. And to your point, if we can find ways to collaborate, to partner, to help lift up and support other people, that it will be returned to us in, you know, in spades. So I'm totally bought into the idea of what you're trying to do here.
Well, cool. Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like it's definitely a path that you don't have to take, this lonely road of entrepreneurship. And frankly, it does a disservice to the entrepreneurs that are out there busting their asses and, you know, building a team or even just hiring out for pieces that they know somebody else could do better. It when you act like we all have to be in this alone, it really does isolate us unnecessarily. And it's already a lonely enough thing being an entrepreneur, even if you have people helping you, because at the end of the day, it is your business and it's your reputation. It's your ego, which ego is what usually is the one that's speaking up loudest when it comes to people claiming that they're either doing it alone or feeling like they need to.
Yeah. Well, so why do you think that perspective exists of if I don't do it alone, it somehow is less. It's a failure on my part. It's a less of an accomplishment. Where do you think that stems from?
I mean, truthfully, so I should say that I work primarily with female entrepreneurs. And I will say, I think the idea of we need to do it on our own or else it doesn't count, or there needs to be one winner or one alpha, really kind of comes from the traditional masculine way of doing business, which is there can be only one, right? There's an alpha male, there's the winner, there's the best, there's the CEO, there's one. And what I'm seeing in my circles, I'm in a ton of entrepreneurial focus groups. And what I'm seeing more and more is people coming to the realization that we really are better together. We really can do more together. And this collaborative nature of going about things, it just moves the needle so much faster. So I think it speaks to the fact that more and more women are getting into running their own businesses. And there's a lot of reasons for that, one of which is that the traditional workforce really just hasn't been very supportive of women throughout history. So a lot of women, especially in like the 30-year-old decade, they've been moving their way up through their corporate career. They're maybe wanting to start having a family, and they're realizing very quickly that it's not super supportive in the corporate world to do both, you know, having a family and moving up the ladder. So many women are starting their own businesses and they're really reimagining the way that work can be for them. And, you know, I think people are starting to understand that this whole perfect balanced work-life balance thing is kind of BS. And so with collaboration, it really just goes back to the idea that we can support one another more, we can do more, we can succeed faster, we can be louder if we kind of combine our resources and our forces and come together to do things collaboratively versus on their own. So I think the mindset is beginning to change. And I think it's going to serve everybody, men and women alike.
I like that. I as you were talking about, you know, what's driving this or where that kind of sense comes from, so I wondered about, I almost wonder if some of it is that when we as entrepreneurs talk about our journey, and I almost hate to lump myself into this category, but I will, you know, we're always talking about these achievements. We're talking about the outcomes. We're, you know, presenting these great stories, which there's plenty of people complaining about that. But I almost wonder if it's because we don't talk as much about what were the actual steps I took to make that thing happen. And so we create this image of what actually happened that's disconnected from the very simple steps that we took. And it gives people this false impression that that the way to get there was some grand independent avenue, when in reality, it was just very small, simple steps that involved a lot of people collaborating. So I just wonder, you know, if it's because we just don't talk enough about the actual tactics, because people don't find tactics nearly as sexy as they do, you know, big, grand
the overnight success. Yeah. Nobody likes hearing about the 10 years that led up to the overnight success, but that's reality. And you're right. I think I end up talking more people out of entrepreneurship than I do in, because people are totally misinformed about what it actually means to have your own business. And I think it's because we've glorified the entrepreneur. I mean, we look at the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world and we're like, oh, I mean, if only, and like, he just did this in his college dorm. And, you know, we talk about the Steve Jobs of dropping out of school and all of that, but we don't give appreciation to the teeny tiny millions of small steps that all of those successes took along the way. And, you know, the business that Mark Zuckerberg built is nowhere near what it is today. And that would have never happened had he not scaled and had he not brought on people and had he not had a ton of, you know, support from board members and mentors and things like that. So I think you're right. People love an overnight success. They love to think that they can just be discovered somewhere and, you know, be suddenly like a superstar. And that's just not how things work for 99.99% of the population. So I think Instagram is an interesting case study in people curating what they share with the world. And I think the same thing goes for entrepreneurship. And I will say, in my circles, I'm part of a community called the Boss Ladies Community, which are female entrepreneurs, and we have these monthly work sessions, which I call Entrepreneurs Anonymous, where we come together and we really share, like, what are we struggling with? What's something we're proud of? How can we support one another? And we're honest and real about the struggles that go into having your own business and doing things, you know, alone, quote unquote. And I think talking about it is the first step, because it starts to let other people understand what really goes into it. And, you know, I think if people see somebody doing the damn thing and they're running their own business and they're being honest about how much work it really is, and that person still decides, yeah, I want to try that too, then by all means, jump on board. But I think it's unfair when entrepreneurs kind of hide the struggle because the other part just seems so much sexier. It does a disservice to everybody paying attention and that person actually working their butt off behind the scenes.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. One of the things that I've noticed, and you mentioned, you know, that you've talked more people out of entrepreneurship than you have in. One of the things that I've actually noticed, and I've gotten to where when people ask for my advice, I actually look for their reaction to this, because a lot of times they're asking me, you know, something along the lines of, what did you, you know, for example, we, you know, made Inc. 5000 this year. So people are, you know, I have dozens of people reaching out on social media.
Right. Like, what's the secret?
Right. Like, how'd you do that? And one of the things I look for is their reaction when I tell them something extremely simple. Like, it was a phone call, right? It started because I picked up the phone every day and I made, you know, I committed to make 25 phone calls. And I look for people's reaction to that kind of information, because the people who are waiting for something big and sexy and they hear that, they're like, well, who cares about your 25 phone calls? Right. Or who cares about your one phone call? Did you get $1 million deal from that one phone call? Well, hell no, I didn't get $1 million deal from one phone call, right? But they're looking for those things. And so I look for how people react when I give them the truth. Look, you know, I built it based on sending out emails, on networking with people, on making phone calls, on planning, right? On project management, like the very basic, simple tactics. And everybody's like, well, there's got to be something bigger and sexier. It's got to be more kitschy, right? For me to really buy into that that's how it was done. And I'm like, no, it wasn't. And the reality is the vast majority of people that I associate with that are successful understand that we're all doing the same like basic things. We're all making phone calls. We're all getting out, knocking doors. We're all, you know, thinking through how we can make our operations more effective, but it's just basic, simple stuff that we're doing every day. And yet people are so into whatever sounds kitschy and sounds really sexy.
Well, and I think that speaks to those people who aren't serious about entrepreneurship and who aren't the right fit for it. Because to me, when I hear somebody say what you just said, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm on the right path. Okay, great. There are small steps anybody can take to make their business succeed. You just have to put in the sweat equity and the time. And for me, that's so much more comforting than hearing like, I don't know, I just got lucky. Because you can't replicate luck, but you can replicate hard work. And, you know, just day by day putting in the time and the effort, that to me is like, okay, cool. I'm on the right path.
Well, that's the exact reaction that I hope to see, right? As somebody that says exactly what you just said. Okay, I actually find comfort in what you're telling me because it tells me I'm at least doing some of the right things.
Right. Everybody just wants to feel on track, right?
Right. Versus the person who's like, well, no, I don't want to, you know, like that's too simple. That can't possibly solve my problem. I need something way more grand to solve my problem. And the reality is I can tell you as soon as they have that reaction that they will never be there. Like unless their mindset set changes, they're not going to be there in 10 years or 15 years.
Well, and I think to be fair, this is partially, I think YouTube and the rise of social media is probably partially to blame for that because it can make it look like, oh yeah, you just throw out one video that catches fire and suddenly you're viral and like you have this whole thing. And it's just, it's not the way sustainable, long-lasting business success works.
Oh, absolutely. You know, just speaking to that, you know, when I first started writing for Forbes, I remember thinking like, oh, this is it. This is like, once you write for Forbes, you've got it. Like the world is yours, right? Like I'm, you know, as soon as my article goes live tomorrow, I'm going to start getting calls and clients are going to want to work with me. I'm going to have so many, I'm going to have to turn them down. And, you know, and I think every entrepreneur, or not every, but so many entrepreneurs think that way, exactly like you said. Oh, it's the next viral video. Once that video goes viral, I'm going to get calls off the hook. Like nobody's going to stop calling me once that video hits a million views, or once I write in Forbes, or once I do this, you know, or once I publish my book. You know, I remember, and I've gotten much more realistic in that when I published my book, I knew that wasn't going to happen this time. So, you know, I published a book like 2 weeks ago and I knew from the beginning, like nobody's going to call me a week after my book gets published. It's not like the phone's going to start ringing off the hook just because I published a book. And then recognizing that there's so much other stuff that goes into this. And it's this accumulation that really matters, not the individual actions.
Well, that and being prepared in the event that something does go viral or somebody, the exact right person does read your article and reach out, you know, there's two pieces to this. Yes, that stuff can happen, but you have to be ready for it to happen if it does. So like if, you know, somebody say writes something that goes viral and you do get a ton of incoming requests to work with you, if you haven't put in the time to set up your structures and your processes and your programs and you don't have the framework behind your business to support that, you'll fold immediately and it'll be this, you know, horrible flame out because there wasn't substance behind that quick flash in the pan promotion or virality, whatever happened. You have to be prepared for when that sort of thing happens. And that doesn't come overnight either.
It doesn't. And I think this pulls us right back to where we started in terms of collaboration. In order to do that, in order to sustain this kind of effort and work and be prepared, you absolutely will not do it alone.
Yep.
Like you can produce that viral video, you can write those articles on the front end to bring in the first client. But once you start getting clients in the door or whatever your business is, right? Once you start selling products, once you start delivering training, whatever it is that you're doing, once you get those first ones in, Now you're just compounding the work you as an individual have to actually do. So it's not like you can stop writing and producing content and stop marketing because you've made some sales now and you get to just focus your attention on fulfillment and production. No, you've got to still be doing all of the marketing and designing and you know, creative stuff. Plus now, because you've got clients, you have to do fulfillment and production. And that doesn't ever stop, right?
The more you scale.
Exactly. The more you scale, the more you're adding to work that you as an individual, if you're trying to be a solo entrepreneur, have to do. And so in order to actually be able to scale and do it effectively, you absolutely, without a doubt, have to be collaborating. You have to be partnering. You have to be finding people who buy into your vision and can support it.
Yeah, 100%. You have to keep the car moving. I mean, people forget that, to your point, you get a client, you still have to keep the whole party going, you know, that got you that first client. It's just now you have to do that and you have to take care of clients and yes, make sure that you can get referrals, which is a whole new, you know, structure and strategy that you can set up. But yeah, I rely entirely right now on leveraging speaking opportunities, being on people's podcasts, being on panels, guest blog posting. That's my personal marketing strategy to keep my name out there. And a lot of that is because that content continues to exist after I do it. So I kind of just have to keep that plate spinning, if you will, so that it keeps bringing in new people. But I just, this will be my last podcast recording for the year, and it's number 15. And I just this past week finished my 23rd speaking gig for the year, also the last one. That doesn't mean I'm done. I now have to start thinking about next year. I'm already thinking about next year, having conversations. People love to see the final numbers. Like, I posted on LinkedIn that it was my final speaking gig. I hit 23. I aimed for 18. And people are like, how did you do it? Oh my gosh, how do I, like, do you work with a speaking booking agent? Da, 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 da. And I'm like, no, guys, this is day in and day out networking, talking to people, letting people know what I'm looking for, letting them know how I can help, doing a good job when I get the opportunity, following up, you know, all of these teeny tiny steps that go into keeping the whole thing moving. It's exhausting, but that's the whole part of being an entrepreneur. It's worth it. But none of that is done in a vacuum. I've got my network working for me constantly.
Yeah, I love that. Well, and it just... It's just one of those things. I mean, how do you as an individual and as, you know, a coach on collaboration, how do you prepare people for these different places where they're going to need to collaborate? How do you help them see, okay, now's the time?
Yeah, a lot of it ends up, you know, clients come to me ready to create a collaboration strategy. And what ends up happening 9 times out of 10 is we have to kind of pause on that and really get the house in order. Before we can reach out to a single potential partner, we really have to make sure that they are set up to be able to handle, best case scenario, lots of incoming collaboration requests or lots of incoming clients or customers. And so I kind of have to dip back into my MBA training. I have an MBA with a specialization in entrepreneurship, and I have to kind of put down my collaboration consultant hat and put on my business coach strategist hat and really make sure that they're prepared to begin with. A lot of that comes down to even knowing how to properly pitch themselves. So many people do not know how to succinctly explain what they do in one sentence or less. And that's crazy to me because it's like, if you don't know how to say what you do in one sentence, I can't talk about you when you're not around. And the people who want to share knowledge about your business with others, potential clients, also can't share what you do. So we end up spending a decent amount of time sometimes even on that piece alone. And then just making sure that all of those frameworks are in place. So having a good database system for keeping track of potential partners and partnerships, making sure that their templates are ready and good to go for all of the different email outreaches and follow-ups they're going to need. We've got a lot of checklists we use. And then we really try and hone in on exactly what types of partnerships and collaborations will be the least, the lowest hanging fruit and the least amount of effort that's going to move the needle in their business to just get started with. Because people always want to dive into these crazy big collaborations. And I'm like, no, you need to kind of go with training wheels here first. You need to make sure that A, this is something you have time, energy, and effort for. And B, that it's actually going to give you an ROI for your business. Because otherwise, what are we doing here? You know, you should never partner just to partner without having measurable outcomes. So a lot of it ends up being okay, we're going to wait on the collaboration piece and really get everything in order first to make sure that they have that sustainable basis before trying to grow, you know, because if they're not ready, then that growth is just potentially going to cripple them.
Yeah. Well, so I think there's two things here that I'm hearing. One is people who are collaborating too early, so they haven't put what they need in place in order to actually collaborate effectively. Mm-hmm. And then I think there's also a group who is collaborating too late. So they're desperate now. Mm-hmm. And so they're collaborating as a way to get out of a really, really uncomfortable situation. And that's scary because they're probably going to not be aware of the implications or impact. They're going to be so desperate that they might make a really bad partner decision or collaboration decision because they're just looking for a way out.
That's what companies often think they can hire me to do for them, is get them out of a hole, get them out of a low sales cycle. Like, people love to look at partnerships as, you know, as a bandage on a gaping wound. And it's just not. Partnerships are vitamins. They're things that you should be doing in the very beginning of your business to sustainably grow your community, gain credibility for yourself as a thought leader or as an entrepreneur or an expert in the space. They're really something that should be incorporated from the get-go. But to your point on that first group, people that are doing it too early, you have to make sure that it's not going to topple over anything else you're trying to do, or have you kind of jump the gun on any marketing strategy that you're just really not prepared to implement just yet. So there is a sweet spot. I think a lot of people end up waiting too long to collaborate. Personally, I see that happen more than the other one. And that ends up coming down to a lot of imposter syndrome. I have so many clients of mine who we get to the part of our work together where I say, okay, we know what we want. We know who we want to work with. Now, what can we give in return? Because partnerships are an energy exchange. They're a value exchange of some kind. So when we sit down to think about, okay, what do you as a person or you as a business have to offer this company or this group for whatever it is that you're asking them for? And people shut down very quickly. They start to get in their heads about not being worthy enough to partner with, not having a big enough list or a big enough social following. And that holds a lot of people back from going after a potential collaboration because they just genuinely don't feel they're worthy enough for this group or organization to partner with. That's actually where my program I'm about to launch in January came from. It's called Expertise for Exposure. And it grew out of that conversation where they were right. Their list was really small. They didn't have a big social following. They were kind of small potatoes in the grand scheme of things because they've just recently launched. So Expertise for Exposure really digs into the entrepreneur as a person and leverages their experience, their knowledge, their expertise as content in exchange for exposure. So that this is a perfect example. Right now, what I'm doing on your podcast would fall under that category of me exchanging my knowledge and experiences for exposure to your community. It can be as simple as that. So yeah, the people that hesitate a little too long on collaborating, it generally comes down to them not feeling worthy enough. And I have to usually talk them, you know, off the ledge and say, no, you have a lot to give. It just might not be super obvious, you know, at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, I think it goes to that whole sense of really being able to articulate and know what's the value that you're creating.
Right.
So that you can, you know, in one sentence or in a quick method, tell people what is the value that I'm creating and have total confidence that that really is the value you're creating.
Yeah. And honestly, if people don't know it, I don't know how they're able to move forward in any other area of their business. Because if you don't have right in front of you the value you're bringing to the world, what your personal mission is, who you're helping or serving, I don't know how you can find clients. I don't know how you can have a sales call. I don't know how you can write a social, you know, post. You just have to have that so ingrained in your everyday before you can really realistically do much of anything.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm curious, what are these, what's the key to actually working with someone else effectively? So it's one thing to know and have the right timing that I'm going to be able to collaborate or partner with someone and have a sense of what that means. It's another to really effectively work with a different group or another person. How do you ensure that that relationship and interaction is a truly effective one?
It really comes down to transparency and trust. Partnerships can't exist without trust, first and foremost, because so much of it isn't measurable. I mean, collaborations are a long game. You can see short-term effects from them for sure. Usually it's an email growth or clicks or reach, that kind of stuff. But the long-term impact of a partnership doesn't show up till really far down the road. So trust is paramount to being able to work with somebody effectively, because you have to believe that it's going to work. And you have to believe that that other side has your best interests in mind as well. And you need to have their best interest in mind. And so transparency comes down to being honest about what it is that you actually need out of the partnership for it to feel successful. So if that means I need to grow my list by at least 100 people for this to have felt good, then fine, be honest about that so you can both work towards that. It also means being transparent about what you can honestly give of your time, of your resources, of your community. We all have this inherent desire to please people, I think. And when I first started doing partnerships, I would just say anything they wanted to hear to make them say yes to me, and then figure out how to come through on those promises later. But I always couldn't, you know, or there were some times where I couldn't pull off what I said I was going to pull off. And that is the exact opposite kind of vibe you want to put out when you're working with somebody. It is always better to underpromise, overdeliver than the opposite. And so transparency with what you can actually do. Don't tell them that you can send a dedicated email to your entire list if that's honestly not something you're willing or able to offer. And be honest if things change along the way. People have a tendency to want to hide if they're not going to meet a deadline. Or if things didn't go as well as they wanted, they'll either avoid the conversation or they'll avoid responding to an email or picking up the phone. And that's only going to make it worse. So being honest and transparent throughout the entire process with both what you want, what you can give, and then anything that comes up along the way will take you so far. Because at the end of the day, you're partnering with a person, not a company. You're both just people working under the umbrella of a company. Even if you are the founder and it is your company, you're still a human being. And people forget that so quickly. They think, oh, well, I'm working with this massive company, you know, it'll be fine, or they don't really need me, or what, you know, I don't owe them anything. And at the end of the day, you're working off your reputation. And if you don't do right by somebody, that's a human being that can tell people that, or, you know, not be able to be referenced. If you want to do a case study on a partnership, if you didn't treat them right, then that's going to come through. Partnership and relationship karma is very real. I have seen it happen in every way, I assure you. So transparency is absolutely key.
I love that that phrase, partnership karma.
It is real.
I totally agree. And I think what you said was really spot on in terms of transparency and having it be a long game. I think part of the reason people aren't transparent is because they don't realize that the collaboration, the partnership really is a long game, and that relationship has to be built on a foundation of trust if it's going to be a long game.
Absolutely. And the best kind of partnerships are ones that you've done with somebody before, right? Like having to start up a whole new relationship with a new company over and over again. Yeah, that's doable, but it's not really sustainable. Whereas if you can build a good relationship with somebody, well, two things can happen. One, you can continue working with them and trying new tactics, because there are a million ways you can partner with a company or an organization. So once you identify, like, what is it that they actually need to feel good about this? So what are their needs and what are my needs? And do we have a similar, you know, overlapping mission? Vibe and audience. If the answer to that is yes, and you've enjoyed working together, you can now go back to the drawing board and try new things without having to start that whole new relationship over again. The other thing that can happen is people leave companies. So the amount of people I've built really good relationships with through partnering with them who have gone on to work at other companies and become my door to opening, you know, opening that door to work with a company that I really admire is too many to count. So if you keep those relationships solid, and that goes for maintaining the relationship long after the partnership's over as well, stay in touch, check in. Like, LinkedIn makes it so easy to stay on top of what people in your network are doing. If you can nurture and continue that relationship for years on end, you'll now have a person at various companies over the years, as opposed to just one person at one company.
Absolutely. And that, again, it, just to reiterate, it is all about the long game. I mean, by doing that effectively, you're now creating this long-term strategy and capability that will exist far beyond the current kind of project or effort. With that,
it shouldn't be transactional.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people want to just jump all in when it comes to collaboration or partnership. And I think part of what I heard you say is to start testing it, right? To do,
yeah,
you know,
test kinda, and learn, test right, and learn, test
dip your
and
toe
learn.
In the water, pick something, you know, that's a smaller effort that you can collaborate with someone on to get a feel for how they work and what the experience is going to be like before jumping all in and signing away your life right. for a partnership that may not be the right fit. You know, test
well,
it out. It'd
be like marrying
things.
Somebody after the first date. It makes no sense. Partnerships are relationships. They're just a professional version of that. And so it is long game. It is making sure that you're taking things slow, you know, checking in to make sure you guys are even the right fit. Not only that, the person to person need to be a right fit, but then your communities need to be a right fit. And sometimes you don't know that until you try a couple things and realize that, okay, people just aren't clicking. They're not listening. They're not watching. They're not downloading. Maybe they're just not into me, and that's totally fine. You just move on then. Or you might find that, holy crap, these people are really picking up what I'm putting down. Let's do more and let's do something bigger next time because we've seen that it actually works for both of us.
Right. And I think that there's a component to that that people should be looking for when they're collaborating in terms of kind of testing this out. One of the things that as a collaborator you should be looking for is the ability for your partner to learn and adjust. So just because you dipped your toe in the water and it failed, that may not be an indication that this is the wrong partnership. It may just be that you're still learning how to work with each other. But what's going to really matter is your partner or does your partner learn and adjust? Mm-hmm. Because we had this experience, we found some things that didn't work, and now my partner's willing to learn and adjust, and so am I, so that the next round is better. Or did we have some hiccups that didn't work and the partner's unwilling to budge? And then that says, okay, this is probably a bigger indicator to how this right. long-term relationship is going to look versus a collaborator who's willing to learn and adjust, which tells me long-term, we can probably build something pretty special.
Absolutely. It's so much about trial and error, and it does come down to kind of that growth mindset as it relates to business. If you meet somebody and you hit it off with them and you're like, yeah, we should do something together. It seems like our missions, our vibes, and our audiences are aligned, you know, and you do something and it kind of flops, you might just have to pull a different lever. But to your point, if that person is willing to adapt and kind of shuffle things around and go with it, then absolutely do it again because you just never know. Most things aren't a huge success right off the bat. But if you can build that relationship and make sure that you're both continuously getting what you need out of it, even if the end game isn't what you hoped for, then that's going to be a really beautiful long-term relationship that could, you know, prove to be really valuable for both of you.
Yeah. So I feel like there's kind of four big things that I've heard in this conversation. So the first one is to be really clear about what the expectations are, kind of know what you want out of it at the front end. If you're not really clear about what your expectations are, what you want out of the partnership, how do you evaluate it later on?
Exactly. That's one of the biggest things people don't do is evaluate the success at the end. They're on to the next. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Do right. not pass go.
Right.
Did this even work the way you wanted it to? But people hate, again, that goes back to the overnight success versus the long, lonely road. It's people don't like reflecting and looking backwards and then iterating and making it better. They just want to be on to the next thing. But that's not sustainable, once again.
Yeah. Well, so I think that's number one. I think number two, which you talked a lot about, was transparency in that, transparency and trust. So once you're clear about what it is you want, be very transparent about how it's going, how you're experiencing the partnership, how you're communicating, you know, be focused on the trust, which leads to the third one, which is think of this as a long game, not, you know, an immediate solution, not a quick fix. Think of your collaboration and partnership as a long game. And then the fourth one is build it along the way. So don't just jump in the deep end of the pool. Build it, work with your partner, adjust and adapt over time so that it really can actually grow and develop and become healthier over time. So I feel like those are four really good insights. Is there something else that you would add to this ability of really being able to collaborate effectively?
I think it all comes down to just acting like a person. Don't forget that you're working with other people. Things happen. You know, we recognize that, especially if you're working with another entrepreneur, we are our businesses, and therefore there is a whole lot of blurred lines between work and personal life. So sometimes things come up that have nothing to do with you. That's a lesson I've been learning a lot lately, is it's probably not about you in almost any situation. Yeah. And so if you can keep that in mind, don't let ego get in the way. So there's a few examples that where this has happened in my work with clients, where somebody literally just drops off the face of the earth. They like partnership ghost you, and you can't help but get in your own head and think like, well, what did I do? Did I say something wrong? What happened? Could I have done better? At the end of the day, things happen. And so I think keeping your ego out of the equation as much as possible and having as much empathy for the people you're working with will just help you in the long run too, for building and nurturing those relationships and keeping yourself from going crazy, because it is. It's people working with people, and people are crazy. So what can you do? You know, just keep that in mind and don't take things personally. Just do the best you can. Show up the best that you can. Put it all in, but make sure you're not getting taken advantage of either.
Yeah. Well, as you were saying all of that and just talking about people working with people and transparency and trust, it reminded me of several conversations I've had recently where folks reach out to me and they say, here's the situation I'm facing. And it's an interaction between them and another group or another person. They say, here's everything I'm experiencing. Here's, you know, where I'm frustrated. They explain the whole situation to me. And then they say, what should I tell the other person? And my reaction over the last week has been, tell them exactly what you just told
me. Right, exactly what you just said. Right. Why would it be different?
Exactly. Like, just tell them, just be transparent with them and tell them exactly everything you just told me. Go tell them. Like, that, if you tell them exactly what you just told me, guess what? Now you can create a dialogue and you can actually talk through it, versus trying to craft some message that isn't fully accurate and is more, you know, more trying to create a false scenario versus just being transparent and telling them exactly what you just told me.
I'm telling you, it builds so much more trust in the long run too, when you're just honest with people. I had some personal stuff come up in the middle of one of my busiest weeks of this year, where I had to cancel no less than 10 big things. Like, five of those were speaking gigs. One was moderating a panel. Like, it was a lot of stuff. And I thought for a moment, like, okay, I could just say something came up. I can't do this. I'm sorry. Or I can just be honest with what happened and, you know, let them in a little bit on my life. And I'm so glad that I did that, because my relationship with all of them deepened over that. They had empathy and sympathy for my scenario. They weren't mad. They were, all they wanted to do was jump in and help and support me. And then when it was time to reschedule, it wasn't like this weird thing. It was, I'm so excited we're doing this finally. You know, everybody, people are mostly understanding. And by letting them in on your life as a human being, if things come up, even if it's professionally, they'll trust you more in the long run, because they were able to trust you right off the bat with this scenario, whatever it was. So don't be afraid of being honest.
Yeah, that's great. So throughout this conversation, I want to summarize some of the kind of key insights that I feel like I've heard. So first off is, don't feel like you have to do it alone. Don't feel like you have to, that the only way to be a successful entrepreneur is to be able to say you did it by yourself, for a couple of reasons. One, that's never reality. You didn't do it by yourself. And two, you're just taking a harder road than it has to be, when you could be collaborating and partnering with others. So view collaboration as the tremendous resource and asset that it truly is. Explore it early on and think about how you can do it effectively. When it comes to doing it effectively, the four things that we just talked about that you've mentioned, which are, know what it is that you want up front, be ultra clear about your expectations, be transparent throughout the process and focused on building trust. Build this collaboration over time. Don't just jump in the deep end of the pool. Look at how you can build it, learn, grow together over time. And then the last one is, think of it in terms of this long game. So those are some, I don't know, I would say a collection of six or five or six really great insights about collaboration. I want to say, first off, thanks, Bailey, for joining us. I think that this has been one of the best, most practical and useful podcast episodes in terms of how to get things done, how to move your business forward, how to explore other ways of getting work done. One of the things you said early on was all around reimagining the way that work can be done. And I think this is a great way to do that. For those listening, I would say, Bailey has some phenomenal resources on her website. So if you go to baileyhancock.com/offerings, you'll be able to see a couple of things that she mentioned, which are the, what did you call it?
Expertise for exposure and partnerships as PR. Those are the main two ways in which I work with entrepreneurs right now. Yep. Yeah. And they'll both be kicking off for the new year with a couple new groups.
Awesome. And so we'll include a link in that for the podcast to Expertise for Exposure, and then the other one for PR. Sorry, what was it?
Partnerships as PR.
We'll include links there. Like Bailey mentioned, they're revamping those and updating those, and so they'll have some fresh new content for you guys to all jump on. If they want to follow this journey, is there other places that they can connect with you?
Yeah, the best place to follow along is on Instagram, actually, and it's Bailey with no E, B-A-I-L-Y, Hancock, on all the things, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you name it. But Instagram's the best one-stop shop. I get very, very honest and open about the way that I work and things that come up in my life, and I've learned that people really have liked that. I've been a lot more open and vulnerable within the last 6 months to a year, and it's really helped bring my community a lot closer and build that trust, like I keep talking about, because it's not contrived. It's real. I'm a person, you're a person. We've all got people stuff that comes up, and especially as entrepreneurs, so much of our lives are tied up together that I think it's really helpful when we have an honest view into what it looks like for somebody else. So please follow along and say hello and connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm a professional friend maker, so I'd love to connect with everybody. And thank you so much for having me on the show. This has been super fun, and it makes me very happy to hear that it was practical, because I think so much of the advice we receive is kind of in the sky, you know, pie in the sky, like long-term things. And for me, I'm like, no, can you just give me a list? Just tell me what to do, and yeah, I'll do it.
Well, yeah. It has so been great. You. Absolutely. Thank you, Bailey, for joining us. Folks, go join, follow Bailey on Instagram, check out her offerings, be ready for the revamped versions coming out. Once again, thanks, Bailey, for joining us. Folks, thanks for listening to The Art of Strategic Reaction, and you'll be able to follow the link to connect with Bailey when we share the podcast. This has been another episode of The Art of Strategic Reaction. Thanks so much, and we will catch you on the next episode.